Flashmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by...
Happy ESPN Betting Alive in Illinois. Sign up today to users get $100 in bonus bets with any sportsbook bet. We say good morning, this is J.W. Norland.
Bet.
Good morning! We finally made it to draft week.
Yes, sir.
Finally. I woke up this morning with a pep in my step. I'm just so happy we are finally here after 4 months of discourse around what the Bears are going to do in the draft. How are we feeling kicking off draft week?
It's been a crawl to try to get there. But, you know, but the conversations have been great because we've been going back and forth on what the Bears can do, looking at the NFC North, looking at the entire NFC. And so I think it's very compelling what's happening here with the Bears. But, again, we felt this way anyway, Shea, based on what we saw in free agency. Just the movement there, just the upgrades that you're trying to make. So I'm pretty jacked up about what the season can bring.
Yeah, I cannot wait for Thursday night, man. Oh, God. When he, Commissioner Goodell, strides up to the podium,
ooh,
the pick is in.
Yeah.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC. He's in the Navy suit. And he said, my lady looks ready to roll. They've got... the designers have all got them all decked out, both of them. He said, it's businesslike, but it's me. I cannot wait. That's our guy.
Here's Shea Norling. Shea?
I'm just going to kick it off with shot or no shot. Caleb Williams should shake the commissioner's hand with burnt orange and blue fingernails.
Sure.
Whatever.
Shot.
I don't care. Whatever. Who cares, man?
He's got to lean into it. Cap, would you paint your nails on Thursday? I'm thinking about painting my nails Thursday morning.
No, I will not. Because that's not who I am.
Oh, come on.
No. No. Why would I do that?
Why not?
For what reason?
Because you're such a Caleb lover. You want to paint the nails. Get a little Caleb action.
No. It's not me. I got to be me. I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea. There's some that want to reach through the radio right now, punch me in the face. Bring a platoon, pack a lunch, take your best shot. I'm okay with that.
He means no. He means bring your lawyer.
Did he just dare people to come punch him in the face, Woody? Is that
whatever.
What he just did?
It's time for Caps Punch a Cap Day.
Dude, line that'd be a great bit.
Oh, line up across state and lake, and you get a chance to take a shot at David Kaplan. 3-1-2. Come on in. Call in. Qualify for a chance to hit Cap in the face.
And that's, I'm okay with that. I don't want everyone to agree with me. That's boring. But paint my nails isn't my thing. So, you want me to tell you.
That's actually a good promotion. Pay $20. You can line up to take a swing at Kaplan. All proceeds go to Bernie's book bank.
Yes.
There you go.
Also, bring a platoon and a lunch, he said also, while you do that. Right?
Yep.
A platoon and the lunch.
That's it. Take a shot.
There you have it. All right, Shane.
We'll just call it Hug a Cap Day.
Sure.
That's it.
And then they take a swing.
Well, then nobody will show up.
Here's Shane Norman. Shane?
Let's jack. Go ahead.
It was a freebie. All right. The implicit trust in Ryan Poles has kind of been interesting to me. A lot of the people that I've been talking to are like, they're really, I'm not going to be angry no matter what. People have preferred outcomes. Some people want a wide receiver. I'm in the camp that wants an edge rusher. But if he ends up with Rome Odunze or if he trades up for Marvin Harrison, I'm not going to come in, yell, and scream about it. I'll be fine with it. So my question for the two of you, shot or no shot, there is no reasonable pick Ryan Poles could make Thursday night that would genuinely upset you.
That's a shot.
That's a shot. I mean, within reason, obviously.
Right. Like, you can't take a punter. You can't take a kicker. Don't take two quarterbacks. But if he does something that we kind of expect, nothing will be upsetting.
No, only the Raiders would do that. Take a kicker that early in the draft.
Sebastian Janikowski.
Yes. That's do correct. That. But correct. He was the best on the board, though.
But people forget when the Reds, then Redskins,
for them, yeah.
when they drafted RG3 like second,
yeah.
they ended up drafting Kirk Cousins in the same draft.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, what? Took two quarterbacks?
I would say that, you know, I believe, and it, as we mentioned, wide receiver, defensive line, there are needs on this football team that are paramount for this ball club, for the youth of the ball club. I'm thinking about now, but I'm thinking about the future when it comes to this draft. Guys that are going to be anchors for your team early. So, Cap, I'm fine.
If I hear he traded next year's number one to move up to get Marvin Harrison, okay, let's go. If I hear he traded down to 15 and he's drafting an offensive tackle and he got an extra second-round pick out of it and he got a receiver, I'm okay. Let's go.
Shay.
Oh, Cap, on the topic of trading up for Marvin Harrison, Adam Schefter reported something this morning kind of interesting. He had a whole list of tidbits ahead of the NFL draft.
It's a great column.
We'll get to some of them in around the NFL. It's very interesting. But one thing that stood out was that the league could have a resolution on the Falcons tampering with Kirk Cousins this week, and it is expected to be severe. The comp he brought up was the Dolphins losing their first-round pick last year for tampering with Tom Brady, who they didn't even sign. Schefter suggests the league could strip Atlanta of the eighth pick. It would move Chicago up to eight. That would not only make it more interesting because if offensive players go in the first seven, you get your pick of defense if you choose to go that route. It's more likely one of the top three receivers is on the board. You also get a little bit closer to trading up for Marvin Harrison Jr. So I pulled up the value chart.
Mm-hmm.
Moving from eight based on the value chart to four would cost you the eighth pick and a second next year. Shot or no shot, the Bears would have to move up for Marvin Harrison if that's the cost.
Well, first of all, when we talked to Albert Breer, he said Monty Ossenfort, the GM of the Arizona Cardinals, mm-hmm. is not only trying to extort you, he has you at gunpoint. That's
sure.
And you would never, ever be able to get him just for one of the second-round picks next year. It would absolutely cost you next year's number one, at least. I'm okay with that. If polls have, again, if his evaluation is that dude right there is a perennial all-pro, go get him. Whatever it takes.
You think Harrison will be there at eight?
No. No shot.
What's the lowest? I guess the question is, what's the lowest you think he'll could go?
Someone Six. Always slides.
Because if we think he's going to be a run on quarterbacks early.
Well, if it's never happened, but there's speculation that four could go in the first four picks. That's never happened.
Right.
If that happened,
is Harrison next? Is Alt next?
I would think Alt goes to the Chargers. But the Chargers do need a receiver. They got rid of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen.
Right.
So if they could take Harrison right there. Then the Giants at six, they need a receiver. They could easily do that.
I think Harbaugh is a smart guy and realizes that he needs a cornerstone weapon at wide receiver if he's there.
But he also would love to have another tackle to go with Rashawn Slater. I mean, that gives you bookends.
Yeah.
And so,
but I mean,
I think most people expect the Chargers to go the Joe Alt route at this point, right? Or Tennessee.
More Tennessee, just based on all the mocks that you've gone through, that we've gone through, we see Alt in Tennessee seems like it's a match. But who knows? I'm asking, like, where is Marvin Harrison's value? That's what I want to know.
Can you imagine the Chargers go, like, four quarterbacks go off the board. The Chargers go offensive line at five. The Giants go neighbors. Tennessee goes Alt. And then you're sitting there at eight. Atlanta's in front of you, and Marvin Harrison's still on the board?
Man.
Well, then you could go, because they probably aren't taking a receiver because they've got Drake London. They just signed Darnell Mooney. They've got Kyle Pitts.
Atlanta.
Right. They got Bijan Robinson. They got Tyler Algier. They've got Kirk Cousins. They got a really good offense already. They probably go Dallas Turner in that situation, who they've been linked to for a long time, if they keep their pick. Just, and then Marvin Harrison sitting there at nine.
Yes, exactly right. So just I want people to understand what just happened there. What Cap did is he built a bridge to Marvin Harrison at nine. That's what just happened there.
Right.
Not that Marvin Harrison is bad to the other teams, but he just built a bridge just so the Bears can get him at nine. That's what you just did.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen because he said the Giants take neighbors ahead of Harrison, that would be somewhat of a surprise.
If that's the case, then the Giants are the Giants. I mean, Marvin Harrison is, as we talk about Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison is the best wide receiver on the board.
Agreed. Now, there are teams, though, that do not have him number one.
That's fine.
There are. And I know for a fact the Bears watched him multiple times. Neighbors.
Yeah.
Love him.
Now, on my mock draft, I have him number one, despite what other teams think. I have him number one because I watched him.
Harrison.
Yes.
Yes.
So on my personal mock draft here on the yellow pad, I have him as the best wide receiver.
He's an amazing football player.
Yeah.
So is Malik Nabers. They're both great players. Yeah. I have Adunze third of those three guys. And he's great, too.
Did you see the rumors? I think it was last week, and they were obviously BS, that Marvin Harrison was tanking his own draft stock so he could get drafted by Chicago?
Nonsense.
Well, he only made two visits. He only visited Arizona and Chicago.
Yeah.
That's it.
Nonsense.
Did not go to any other team. Rejected him.
Shay.
All right, the Bulls were eliminated in the play-in for the second straight year on Friday, and Arturis Karnišovas did not wait to meet the media. He said on Saturday, he takes full responsibility, and he vowed to bring changes this offseason. Shot or no shot, the change the Bulls need is a new executive vice president of basketball operations.
That's a shot.
That's a shot, sir.
100% a shot, that guy. He's had all these opportunities. I'm not alone here. Hoodie's not alone. Many of you have been calling in, screaming, we've got to get some shooting. Nope, we're good. We'll go get Javon Carter and Torrey Craig. No, this guy had his chance. If I was the owner, he would not have been having that press conference on Saturday. He would have gotten the phone call after the game on Friday night. Yes, when you fly back, I need to meet you for breakfast tomorrow morning. And it would have been the least tasty breakfast he ever ate because I'd have fired his ass right at the table. Yep. Hey, man, appreciate the efforts. Too conservative for my taste. Out. And tell Mark he's next. He's going to.
Yep.
Out. Done.
Yeah.
That front office, listen to me loud and clear over there. Your front office is an embarrassment. An embarrassment to a hardworking city that supports our teams, that went out there and last Wednesday made the United Center a very hostile place for Atlanta. Guess what? Your front office is an embarrassment. Fire their ass.
I don't think there's any question about that. In my imagination, I would like to think that Michael Reinsdorf said something to Arturis Karnišovas for him to change his tune because we haven't heard him say, this does not work, we need to make changes. It's the first time he said it in his tenure. In my imagination, I would like to think that Michael Reinsdorf had the testicular fortitude to step to the general manager and the president of basketball operations to say, this sucks, this is not good enough, change it. But I feel like Karnišovas had to say something because he had to be embarrassed. He continued to talk about continuity and everything's fine at the deadline until it wasn't. Once again, you win a game and you get bounced. And so that is a hallmark of this organization and this iteration of the Chicago Bulls. And so, you know, it's great for him to just put it all on the line and say, hey, we got to make changes. But what does that really mean in this organization? What real changes? So I just it's a typical nonsense. We'll talk more about it at 9:35 because for people that missed it, because it was buried on a Saturday morning, by the way, this press conference. I know many probably missed it with their busy weekend. You got to hear this at 9:35. So can you squeeze in one more, Shay? I know we got around the NFL.
Yeah, I can, because after talking smack on my name last week to everybody in the station who would listen about my errors in beer league softball, Tyler Aki took second base yesterday in beer league softball. He dropped a pop-up. And then fielding a throw from the outfield, broke his finger so badly that he might need surgery. Shot or no shot, this is karma for talking badly about a friend.
Damn!
Not bad at it.
No, absolutely not. Go ahead.
I'm going to say no shot. It's not karma. It's just that it happens. He's a competitor.
Oh! What? How's he getting off so easy?
He's a competitor. Tyler's a guy that he drops a pair and lets go. You?
He dropped a pop-up.
That happens, man.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I mean, listen, a guy like that, usually shorthanded, made a mistake, probably sun in his eyes.
Yeah.
Anything could happen. And, you know, maybe on the grounder. Don't know, is a pop fly, right? More than likely, maybe a bird hit it. Could have happened. Anything could have happened.
Correct. So and you know, he's probably, his mind is thinking, oh God, we're probably in the bit in the hole here, and if Norling's up, we're certainly not going to score, so I've got to carry the load. So I give hats off to Tyler for the competitive nature that he brings to the game.
So hopefully all is well with Tyler, because here's a guy here that was working hard and unfortunately got injured. Hopefully he'll come out whole on the other side.
Right. Whether he is in a wheelchair or in a splint or a cast today,
we'll support him.
We'll support him, and he'll be there for the Waddle and Sylvie show.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tyler.
This is unbelievable.
So all the best to Tyler, the competitor that he is.
In fact, I think he's retaining Howard Ankin to go after you because he said that you distracted him when he injured the finger.
You too.
Ankin law. Injury law made personal.
You can take Tyler home too. If your significant other has an injury, it's only for 45 cents a day where you could take care of your own Tyler Aki. The number's on the bottom of the screen. The shivering dog that is Tyler Aki, because of the injury, flies all over him. We can't have this. We have to take care of our Akis. Tyler, we love you. Call the number on the bottom of the screen right now.
Or click on the QR code.
I will say, after I finished hitting my friend with a sledgehammer, he did get a hit with a broken finger. So can't deny, gamer.
Yes, there's no question about
that. Gamer mentality.
And you too can bring home your own Tyler Aki. Around the NFL is next on Cap and Jay Hood.
To Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Remember to be listening for the Galloping Horse. Caller number 10 will be qualified for a $1,000 free bet, Club Hawthorne. You'll be able to hear that Galloping Horse at some point this hour right here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show, our way of saying thanks for listening to us weekday mornings 7 to 10. Around the NFL with Shay Norling. Shay?
It is draft week. I'm going to be all NFL draft all week, culminating on Wednesday with the official Snorling mock drafts. I'm very excited. Very excited to put these out there for the Chicago Bears on Wednesday.
Yes.
Today, Adam Schefter had a bunch of nuggets in his column at ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you about a few of them. The first, why the Cardinals are in the catbird seat. Schefter says Ostenfurt is sitting in the Ostenfurt, the GM in Arizona, sitting in the eyes of one coach, quote, in the catbird seat. He sits at number four and can take all the calls he wants. With quarterbacks presumably going off the board, the three picks in front of him, the draft effectively starts with the fourth pick in Arizona.
Hmm.
Are the Cardinals in the most enviable position in this draft?
Okay, so the Bears get their quarterback. Washington gets their quarterback. I mean, I know there's a lot of love for Jaden Daniels. And so Drake may possibly go into the Patriots at three. We'll see. Or maybe it's vice versa. But at four, Cap, do the Cardinals, I mean, it won't be a quarterback, but it could be offensive line. It could be defensive line. Could be wide receiver. Marvin Harrison's right there if they want it at four.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say the team at number four. What was your term? How did you phrase
Controller,
it?
The most enviable position in the draft.
Yeah. No, the most enviable position in the draft is number freaking one. And we've got it. But number four is nice if you're not taking a quarterback. And they have come out and said, we're all in with Kyler Murray. He's QB1. So they're not looking to do that. So they get their choice of the non-quarterback players. But, I mean, they need a lot out there.
So, Shay, do you believe with the question that you asked or the comment that you made? So, if the Cardinals take a wide receiver at four, do you think we get a short run on wide receivers from there?
Yeah.
Or does that push Alt down? How does that look to you?
If they take a receiver at four, I think Marvin comes off the board. I think the Chargers are probably a little more interested in Alt, which means the Giants are going to be a little more interested in Neighbors or Adunze. I think if they end up staying there and taking a receiver, the likelihood of all three of them falling to the Bears significantly shortens. But I don't think they're going to do that because push comes to shove. When their pick is up at number four, I think the Broncos are going to be on the phone. The Raiders are going to be on the phone. The Vikings are going to be on the phone. Teams are going to want to move up and get that pick.
Mm-hmm. And they need a lot. It's not like they go, well, we're ready made. We just need a receiver or a tackle. Well,
Arizona?
Yeah.
And that's where maybe, like, they're not getting Caleb Williams, so it's not the most enviable position, but they're going to get a boatload for a pick that otherwise wouldn't have fetched it because the draft effectively starts there.
It'll be super cool, man, and I hope.
I get it.
I'm sure Poles has already spoken with them about what it would cost to move up there.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I get what you're saying, Shay. 1-2-3 quarterback, and then the wild card is what are the Cardinals going to do, and then what are you willing to offer if you want to get up there?
Now, the Patriots could throw a wrench in this and say the draft starts with us and decide to trade out a three. But the stories that I'm reading in this Adam Schefter article that all signs continue to point to Washington taking Jaden Daniels, number two, Drake May, number three, New England Patriot.
Yeah, there's talk that New England is entertaining trading out of that pick. We'll see.
It's a tough thing, man. Like Robert Kraft, I remember at the owners' meeting, said the number one priority for him is getting a top-flight quarterback in this draft. It'll be difficult for Elliott Wolf to explain why he traded out of three if Drake May's there. That's a tough thing to explain to an owner who's on the record saying, I want a quarterback.
Unless he says Drake May's not good enough.
And Kraft's other quote, don't hire Bill.
Correct.
Here's Shay Norlick. Shay.
That's correct.
On the topic of the Patriots moving down, Schefter talked about that, said the Patriots could trade out at three and then do an Arizona type of move and trade back up. So they could trade out of three for whatever they decide they want to get picks-wise and then move back up in the draft to try to vulture J.J. McCarthy in that top 10.
Are the Patriots afraid that Drake May won't be there and going to play some chicken with Washington?
That's kind of what it feels like. I feel like the Patriots are thinking, like, if Drake May goes off the board in front of us, we have to have some feelers out there. But if he's there, I think you just take him.
Yeah, like, if he falls to you at three, I would not take Jaden Daniels if I'm the Patriots.
No.
I would take J.J. McCarthy for a flyer, because Brissett's ahead of him, right? Is he number one?
Brissett is number one now. So you're telling me that if the Washington Commanders select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina, you're telling me if you're New England, you don't take Jaden Daniels?
I would not.
I wouldn't.
And so what would you do then?
I would probably end up taking J.J. at three if I were New England, because here's the problem. Like, I get the fantasy of trading down and then trading back up so you can select your quarterback, but talk about a gamble. Because if you trade down and somebody else decides they're going to vulture you and go and get J.J. McCarthy, then you're screwed. Then you're going into this season with maybe Bo Nix and Jacoby Brissett. Like, you just miss out on the premium player. I think when you have the third pick in the draft and no quarterback, don't think too hard. Get the premium quarterback.
Cap, you know what this is in New England. You know what this is. This is like the Bulls trying to replace Michael Jordan with Pete Myers or Jalen Rose. I mean, trying to fill the shoes of Tom Brady, like that legacy has been so cemented. Like, we're going back to Rod Rust right now, this Patriots team.
Wow.
No, seriously, like you're trying to get the best quarterback available, but there is that pressure of the Brady regime, of the excellence that was the New England Patriots. They got to get this right, or they're going to be just spinning their wheels like they used to, previous to Belichick and Brady being there. You and I remember how bad the Patriots were. Their pop-up championship against the Bears in 85. They were okay, but they were not stellar. If they don't get this right now, it's going to be a problem. All that winning in this post-Belichick and Brady era, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, I will be surprised if Jaden Daniels isn't gone in the top three. I'll be surprised.
Sure, Washington could take him, sure. You want the next RG3? Go ahead. Can you squeeze that one more?
Wow.
And before the injury, is not bad, by the way, right. RG3.
Both teams from the Super Bowl two seasons ago were being rumored to potentially trade up. Eagles in need of a defensive back, and Howie Roseman loves to move up in the draft.
Yes.
And the Kansas City Chiefs picking 32nd and now kind of desperately in need of a wide receiver as Rashee Rice could be facing jail time. I don't know if he's going to play this year. The Chiefs may be in the interest of moving up from 32 to draft a wide receiver. Granted, that's probably the deepest position in this draft. I mentioned last week, 100 of CBS Sports, or 17 of CBS Sports' top 100 prospects were wide receivers.
You know what? I can't wait. From your mock draft standpoint, Shay, I'm interested in 1-9 on your draft as much as I am 32. I can't wait to see what gem you're going to pull out of there for the Kansas City Chiefs. Great organization, solid front office. I want to see what gem they can find in the bottom of this draft to say, oh my God, how come the Bears? Like that kind of thing. Because that's what Kansas City is. Like, I can't wait to hear your number 32 pick. Because you know it's going to be solid. It's the way the Chiefs do it.
Yeah, and there'll be a good player sitting there. There will be. I mean, I'm not trading back to 32, but...
Is there a Lamar Jackson down there?
I don't think it'd be the Bears, but could they trade up to 17 and try to get wide receiver 5 instead of wide receiver 10?
As you see, the Chiefs are as close to the Patriots as possible as far as, hey, we don't have stellar wide receivers across the board, but Mahomes can make these guys on the roster. And we saw this, the ebb and flow of this past season, right? Right, Shay? I mean, we saw this. Like, guys that were substandard at the position, but Mahomes was making those guys. Just like how Tom had to do that with the Patriots. Substandard at the wide receiver spot, but still winning, finding a way, because the system supersedes everything.
And this Rashee Rice deal has really kind of thrown them a bit of a curveball. They're going to have to figure out what they want to do with wide receiver.
And you're saying he would be in jail, and that's why he couldn't play?
I don't know if he's actually going to get jail time, but he's facing multiple charges. I don't know that he's going to play.
All right, Jesse Rogers on the Cubs and Sox and everything else. MLB is coming up next on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Now it's time to talk to Jesse Rogers, and he's on the hotline.
That would be the CarX Tire and Auto Hop.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Tune in.
Don't worry, call the CarX name.
Good morning, Jesse. How are you?
I am good. Spent most of the weekend at Wrigley Field. Very interesting stuff there, but a little bit of a lost opportunity. I'm sure you guys would agree. It's the Marlins. There aren't many teams that are down there at the bottom where you know you can sweep or win 3 or 4. The Marlins are one of them, of course, the White Sox. So now you have 16 in a row against pretty good teams. So you kind of lost an opportunity in only splitting. Where do you want to start?
The split is bad, Cap. You're better than that now.
Yeah, with the Marlins. Jesse, the split sucked. That was awful. And the fact that they left this bullpen decrepit like they did last year is unconscionable. Those that fail to follow history are doomed to repeat it. And they absolutely are doing an ass-backwards job about fixing this bullpen that stinks.
And now they have to fix it on the fly. Adbert Alzolay went from the closer one day blowing a save to the eighth inning or whatever it was yesterday trailing. So, it's not even he's the setup man. Now they're trying to fix him in a losing situation, and maybe they will. Why don't we start there? Because I talked to Alzolay yesterday before the game. He was accountable and all that stuff, which is good. But just like Kyle Hendricks, he's searching for answers. I mean, he's given up 4 home runs, blown 4 saves. So I asked him directly, is it just 4 bad pitches or what's going on?
You can see it the way that it's been 4 bad pitches, which is, in my personal opinion, I think it's only been 1 bad pitch. The slider 3-2 count that I threw in opening day, I think that was the only pitch that I legit missed. Other than that, has been pitches that has been like in the edge or like away. I just think it goes more deeper than that. I just think there is an adjustment that I gotta make mechanically with the way I'm moving, and that's where we are trying to work right now.
Alzolay with his 4 blown saves, as you mentioned, Jesse. That's bad, especially we haven't got to May 1st yet.
Hoodie's right. We should be 17-5 if he did his freaking job.
Yeah, or maybe if you blow one save, that's going to – if you blow one save a month, you're having a great season. But he's blown four, and we're not even at a month. And you heard him about his mechanics. It's really about his slider, which was such a good pitch to go along with his fastball in the past. It's just not sliding right now. It's not moving the way it should. And they're teeing off. And it's been all one-run games, so he hasn't had any cushion, but that's your job, right? So he's now demoted, at least for the moment. They're going to figure out what to do. Hector Neris pitched the ninth in the doubleheader Saturday night. They didn't need a closer yesterday. I still think it's probably Leiter or Neris to get it. The Leiter is their best guy when there's men on base earlier in games. So, like, whatever you take away from in the seventh or eighth, right, you put in the ninth, now you have a hole in that seventh or eighth, but maybe Owsley will be better there. But it's not great. It's not great. And, you know, you were, like you said, that's three or four more wins you could have had just asking a guy to do his job, pitch one inning, and it hasn't worked.
Jesse Rogers, let me reset. Jesse Rogers with us here on Cap and Jay Hood.
I keep hearing from people, well, nobody makes trades in April. Let me just tell you something, Jesse, and I've got the Chicago Sun-Times right in front of me.
He doesn't mean .com. He's got the broadsheet. He's got the newspaper in front of him.
Yeah. I got the Sun-Times hard copy right here. Okay? Chicago White Sox, 3-18.
Okay.
Houston, 7-16. Colorado, 5-17. Miami, 6-17. You're telling me there's not one team in there, we've got this vaunted farm system, that wouldn't trade you a freaking reliever?
I'm not telling you that. No, I'm not telling you that. I don't think Houston would, because they probably think they can get back in it. But you're right. Okay. Those teams that are – we're in an era where when you're bad, you're really bad. And you're right. There's no reason for some of those teams to wait. I do think that, you know, Jed, if he was on with you right now, would say, well, it would be an overpay in April because it's you're paying for the whole season, not just half a season. There'd be probably some excuses and stuff, but you can make those phone calls. I don't disagree with you. I'm not sure Kopech's the answer because he's not proven. You could be trading for a guy that you're trying to figure out as well. So I'd rather have someone a little bit more proven. But I do not disagree with you. You can make those calls. Let's put it this way. If they had a major injury right now, a major injury where they lost a starter for the season or reliever for the season, I think they probably would make a call because that's how you replace a guy if you lose someone that early in the year. So this is almost similar. If you're having ineffective pitching, why not make that phone call? I'm on your side. It's not the easiest thing to do, but it's not impossible.
Jesse, one of the questions that we had this week was trying to figure out what's happening with Kyle Hendricks. Kyle Hendricks, four innings pitched, six hits, four runs, and five strikeouts, has not won a ball game that last game against the Marlins. So what happens with Kyle Hendricks now? Do you expect him to make his next start?
I do, unless they come up with some fake injury or something like that. I do, because at least it was better. It was better. Now, he could only go up, right? It can't be worse. It could have been the same. It wasn't the same. It was a little bit better. He had a couple easy innings. His one bad inning, he gave up two hits that were good hitting moments by the hitters. Like they hit pitches off the plate, okay? But then after that, he compounded it with some bad pitches, and he gave up the third longest home run in baseball to Jesus Sanchez earlier in the game. So it's like he gets some bad luck and then combines it with some terrible pitching. But at least it was better. The first and third innings were really good. The second was okay. The fourth was not. So I do think as long as he's moving in the right direction, they're going to let him try to figure it out. But it can't go too long, right? I mean, he's got to figure it out soon. So I never thought it would happen overnight. When you're that bad, you don't go from really bad to really good overnight. So it's baby steps. And to interrupt that progress would probably be a mistake. But he's got to continue to go in the right direction, Jay Hood. So I think he makes the next start, but it better be better than this one.
Arrieta.
That's kind of my feeling.
Pardon me.
Did you call him Arrieta?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Wow.
So, cough.
Wow. So, Jess, what about this? Justin Steele's going to throw – he threw a very sweaty bullpen where he got into it and came out of it very well. Yeah. So he's going to go down to Arizona, get in the heat, and it's 95 degrees there. He is going to throw in extended spring on Friday. If that goes well, there's a chance he skips the rehab assignment, maybe makes one, and he's back in the rotation. What if you took Ben Brown and made him your closer?
It wouldn't be impossible, not with his stuff. I mean, he's a fastball, curveball guy. I mean, he only has two pitches.
It's all you need is a closer.
Oh, no, that's God. What I'm saying. Like, he fits the profile for a closer.
Oh,
so I do not disagree with that possibility. Now, I still think Leiter's demeanor is better. You know, you talk to guys, the ninth inning is different. But maybe he's, you know, so young, you know, young and dumb thinking that he could go do it. I mean, it's mostly about stuff, but you also need a certain experience sometimes for the ninth. I'm not saying he can't do it. I probably would trust Leiter a little bit more, or maybe even Neris. But the
stuff
is so
isn't
good.
Even close, Jess. Come on now.
The stuff is so good, you could try it.
You are pathetic, Cap.
Why?
You're absolutely pathetic. You're the Chicago Cubs piecemealing the closer together. You want a closer? Go find one. Stop. Don't do that to that kid. Go find a closer that can do it. Something that's proven. This whole piecemealing the thing together.
I'm not piecemealing. I'm giving him the job. No. Kid, go get it.
No. You don't do that, Cap. Not in real teams. You want to do it at the White Sox, that's fine.
When Tampa went to the World Series, they closed with David Price, a rookie.
Yeah.
Who they brought up in like August.
Yeah, spin some more old yarns. I'm talking about 2024. That you're better than that.
Well, okay. Of the teams I just gave you,
there you go.
None of them that are up the track, with the exception of Houston, and they probably would like to undo the Hader deal. He hasn't pitched very well. Those other teams, there are not lockdown closers that I see there that you go, oh, there. So there is no closer available. But I got a guy on my staff who,
no,
he's a rookie. But he throws 99 miles an hour with a filthy yacker. I might be able to use him because Steele's coming back.
He's never had that kind of energy before. That kind of, you know, again, that is a different animal when you're at the end of games. Jesse, is he trying to knit a quilt or is he trying to put a ball club together?
That's ridiculous. A different animal. It is a different animal at the end of games. I also give another reason, Cap. I think they like that he can pitch multi-innings because he is a starter by trade. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot that goes in. That may not fit for him. And why not work with the veterans first, Neris or Leiter, and move your way down if you have to go to Brown. But Neris. I think they like the idea of Brown pitching two innings or three innings. You're not going to do that with your closer necessarily. So the point is he's pitching good, and that's what's most important. I mean, Council, if he was on with you right now, would say, we need outs. I don't care how we get him or where we get him. We need outs. So let's just see how this thing plays out. But if everyone's healthy and maybe Hendricks is moving in the right direction, man, they've got some good arms to deal with. And maybe you move Hendricks to the side. Maybe you put him in the bullpen as a long man. Because I don't think they want to release him. Not if he's healthy. You want inventory. But let's see how it all plays out. It's a good thing to have that many healthy pitchers. Let's put it that way.
More with Jesse coming up next, Dan.
Any Sacks news?
We'll find out next on Cap and J-Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Jesse Rogers with us here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Congratulations to Mike in Elmhurst. He's our second qualifier for the $1,000 free bet at Club Hawthorne for the Kentucky Derby. One more chance to qualify on Friday. So congratulations, Mike, on the victory. We turn now to Jesse Rogers. Jesse, one question.
Any Sacks news?
Well, they're last in runs scored. They're second to last in runs given up. They're tied for fifth most errors in the league, and the top five teams are bunched anyway. So, I mean, nothing's going right. They can't execute a rundown. And when they play teams like the Phillies, there's going to be long weekends. I mean, once in a while, you might get a good team having a letdown or coming off a road trip or something. But all things being equal, these good teams are going to see the White Sox come to town, and it's going to be brutal. And you saw them get no hit through six innings, I think, twice, right? Friday and Saturday.
No. Sixth and then seven.
Yeah, it was into the eighth on Saturday.
Yeah. So there's just no end in sight to all of this. There really isn't. Nastrini's second start, not as good as the first one. I think they'll probably bring up Drew Thorpe, the guy they got for C soon, and you'll see maybe Nastrini, Cannon, and Thorpe get a whole bunch of starts this year, and that's kind of going to be the only thing to really watch. If this young staff somehow advances throughout the year, that'll be somewhat of a positive. Everything else, though, is a negative.
From people that you talk to around the league, what do they say about the White Sox? I'm sure that someone say, hey, you're based out of Chicago. Boy, those White Sox, woof. You got to be hearing something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I told the story of being in the Reds locker room, right, where they were like, ooh, what is going on over there? Candelario felt like he dodged a bullet because they were interested in him if they had traded Moncada. But that's the feeling around the league.
Wow. Like,
what is going on? The one thing is, you know, in some ways, I mean, right now, last year it was even worse in some ways. Just listen, hear me out, because it wasn't by design. This is by design. You don't turn over your entire pitching staff and two catchers and think you're going to be respectable. So now if they lose 120, that's not by design, but losing was by design this year. Losing wasn't by design last year. So you just, whether it's 110 or 115 or 120, it's all in the same boat. Right. And so I guess that's what other people are saying. Like, what did you expect when you have a brand new pitching staff and now three guys, you know, get hurt in terms of the position player? So that's kind of what I'm hearing around. Yeah, it's bad, but we kind of expected this.
Do you expect him, Chris Getz, to be aggressive in moving out players? I know he can't move Moncada. I know he's not moving Aloy. But is there anything he can do?
I mean, I think
Kepka, by the way, Greifel. Does he have a for sale sign on the house yet? Because he can't survive.
Yeah, right. I some reason I do think he'll survive the year. I just do. Although it's so embarrassing already, you know. They're not playing clean. That was the big thing. He was going to, you know, play better defense, play cleaner. They're not. So maybe Jerry just can't stand the look of this thing anymore, and he gets someone else like Tony. But
a funny guy.
Cough. But I Belichick. To survive the year, it's going to be bad. Yeah, Belichick might be better than Grafal. So I think he probably survives the year, but I don't know for sure. So, yes, if Kopech develops, then, yeah, you could trade him. There's not a lot of other things, to, you know, people to trade, maybe a reliever or two. You know, who knows? Chris Flexen finds his game. I don't know, Cap. There's not a lot left.
Oh, my God.
But he will rip off the Band-Aid come July with anyone that's playing well.
Mm. I would say, by the way, on the Cubs side of the ledger, that I know that your concern is with the closer and splitting against a woe-begone Marlins team. However, I will say this. 10 runs in the last three games is not good enough either for this offense.
Agreed.
Well, remember, Ian Happ's out. Suzuki's out. So you start to feel a little bit. Morel is struggling big time. I wouldn't be surprised if they moved him down, because I was watching that game yesterday. I was actually in the stands. And it's like, Cody Bellinger was in front of, you know, batting in front of Morel, didn't get anything to hit because they're pitching around him to get to Morel, and he looked terrible the first couple of at bats. Council says it's not as bad as it looks. He thinks the underlying numbers say better, but you need Bellinger to have pitches to hit, and he didn't get that early in yesterday's game. So there's a few guys struggling, Jay Hood. There's a few guys out of the lineup. It's impacting a lot of things. Happ thinks he'll be back tomorrow. He's got a hamstring thing. Suzuki is still weeks away. So, other than Nico Horner, he's as hot as anyone, 438 over his last seven games. I mean, this guy, hand him the gold glove right now. He is playing great baseball. No reason he can't be an all-star, even if he doesn't have a lot of power.
And you see what Suzuki means to this team. That's why I'm telling you, if he can get back here in a reasonable amount of time and keep it rolling, he's an MVP candidate. Not telling you he wins it, but he's one of those guys on the list.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, if he has the year he's having, he'd get votes. And that's a start. He'd get votes. I mean, he's not top three or top five. He's not a Cunha or one of, but he'd start to get votes. And that's what you want of a guy making the kind of money he is. So, yeah, you're right. The longer you play without him, you're going to miss him. And you're going to miss Hap. So, look, Canario comes up in a big spot. They bunt two guys over on Saturday. He comes up. All he has to do is get a fly ball, and he takes huge swings, and he strikes out. That's a learning experience. So when you lose guys, young guys are going to get a chance, and they're not always going to come through. So you're right. Wasn't a great weekend at the plate for the Cubs, after Friday especially.
Jesse, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
You got it, boys. Have a great week. Enjoy the draft. Talk to you soon.
Love you, Jess.
You too.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Jesse Rogers here on Cap and J Hood, brought to you by West Coast Men's Health, helping men with ED and chronic pain for over 5 years. Go to westcoastmenshealth.com. It's draft week. Could the Bears seriously be considering moving up in the draft from 9? We talk about it in 2 minutes on Cap and J Hood.